What sort of things are robotics doing to assist in farming at the moment?
So robotics in farming, I think, is a coming thing, like self-driving cars are a coming thing. The technology to date really is around self-guided tractors. So this is a technology that's it's been evolving over a decade. So instead of drivers having to concentrate as they drive the tractor up and down crop rows doing spraying or planting or harvesting, the machine basically drives itself. The farmer just has to turn the vehicle around at the end of the row and then it goes back all by itself very, very precisely.
And you can even have computers working out the best pattern of harvesting or fertilising or whatever, can't you, in the different shaped fields that you might have?
That's right. There's a technique or technology called precision agriculture, which is all about understanding the fact that your plot of land is not uniform and that there are some bits that are perhaps more productive than others. So the machines actually monitor the productivity of the different bits of land over time, and then they apply different levels of fertilizer to different parts of the paddock in order to optimize the output. So that's all very traditional application of robotic technology to agriculture. But there are more exciting things on the horizon.
Oh, what? What's happening?
So I think what's going to happen, and there's a few research groups in Australia and the US and in Europe looking at this problem, is can we change the way we do agriculture? So instead of having ever bigger machines which are used to do planting and spraying and harvesting and whatever, could we instead of that have a larger number of smaller machines which are completely automatic? They don't have drivers and they could do the same job. It's an alternative way. So you have a big machine with a driver in it, or you have a large number of small machines that are completely automatic. And there are a number of advantages of going to that second approach.
Because the scale of those machines are huge, the ones that you see. The traditional ways of using machinery in farming. And now you're saying that we're going to get a whole bunch of small machines to do these things.
Yeah. So if you try and think about why it is we've got to the stage where today we have these very, very large machines doing agriculture, and it's all about trying to make the farmer more productive. So, once upon a time he did it himself, it was the farmer's labour, and then he got horses and ox to help him, and then the tractors came along and the tractors got bigger. And they got bigger and they got faster. And this was all about trying to improve the productivity of that one farmer, this escalation of technologies over time. But we've got to a point now where it's difficult to make tractors too much bigger. To make them too much bigger, they're going to sink into the ground. They're not going to be able to do useful work. And already we're at that point where these machines are so large that they do quite a lot of damage to the soil that they drive over. And so there is techniques have been developed to try and reduce that. So what we think is, if you take a clean sheet of paper and say, okay, all I want to do is to get a lot of land covered in a particular amount of time, and now I don't need to have people driving the machines because the technology has evolved to a level where the machines can drive themselves, then maybe you'd come up with a different solution to one really big, expensive machine. Maybe you'd say, we'll have a whole lot of smaller, cheaper machines, and we let them loose and they work in coordination. They do the work. Each machine is cheaper, it's simpler. And if one breaks, that's not so bad because I've got a whole lot more which are still working. And it's a different way of thinking about the problem enabled by robotic technology.
Wow, that is a different way. And I was just thinking too while you were talking that traditionally you see the farmer as someone who works 24/7, late into the night, trying to fix the tractor for the next day, mending the fences, getting the seed ready to be planting, whatever. A lot of hard yakka.
Absolutely.
And then, a couple of weeks during the year, they go down to Southwest Rocks and relax and get somebody else to look after the farm, their son or their uncle or somebody. And I can just imagine them building the house at Southwest Rocks now and just sitting on their computer screen and doing the harvest from there. What do you think about that?
I think it's possible in the not too distant future that, you know, you can pull out your tablet or your phone and you can see where all the robots are in the farm and what they're doing. You could say, no, I want, you know, these 7 robots, I want them to put them into this field over here. Yeah, that's probably not going to happen next year or the year after, but, you know, I think that's the way that the technology is going.
And, I mean, yeah, drones have had a big effect already, haven't they?
So drones are being used for a number of applications on farms, particularly for doing, say, weed mapping. So you can send them out over a field and understand where the weed outbreaks are. So you can go over and, you know, and target, you know, just those areas for treatment. Also using them to look at, you know, the ripeness of different sorts of crops. So drone can skim over a very large area very, very quickly and bring that information back to the farmer. So they can send them out to check dams and water troughs and gates. You know, make sure that gates are closed, troughs aren't empty. So
bunch of 5 rogue cows have gone.
Yeah, all of those sorts of things. So, you know, another issue with farming is that as a population, Australia's farmers are just getting, you know, everyone's getting older, but the average age of Australia's farmers is going up. And that's because there's not so many young people going into the farming game. So I think kids tend to leave the farm, go to the cities, get different sorts of jobs, and are leaving the land. Mm. And for our country, that's going to be a problem. I think I recall some statistic like, maybe half our farmers will retire in the next 10 years or something.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's
a real problem then, isn't it?
As an agricultural nation, yeah, I think it is a real problem. So you could argue that perhaps by augmenting human farmers who are the repository of a lot of knowledge and a lot of skill and all of that, augmenting them with machines which do the hard physical labour, maybe that's a way we can get over this particular bump.
Yeah, maybe they could still run... they could still run their farms from the bed of their nursing home well into their 90s or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Keep them working. I think the government wants people to keep working later and later anyway, so could work in well there. But there's actually one of the statistics we have here is that there's 307,000 people employed in Australian agriculture. So are some of these robots going to be taking their jobs?
It's a difficult question, that one. I think that in agriculture there are a lot of jobs which people don't want to do, and that's certainly been a focus of the sorts of research that we're doing. And so this is particularly prevalent in horticulture, that's, you know, industries like fruit picking, where, you know, we struggle to get people who want to do that kind of physically difficult work in somewhat remote locations. Recently, we've had this whole debate about backpackers and tax rates for backpackers.
Yeah.
So a lot of the labour force used in Australia to do that kind of low-level agricultural labour, they're not native Australians, right? I think that either the pay rate's too low or it's too hard. People are not interested in doing that, so we rely on backpacker labour to do that. And so that's why it was such a sensitive issue that if the tax rate was too high and the backpackers say, to hell with that, I'm not going to do that work, then we don't have a fruit industry, and that's not good.
No.
So if people don't want to do the work, then what are your options? You can say, we're not going to grow fruit anymore, we'll just import it. Or you could say, we'll offer really good salaries for people to go and pick fruits. And that means the fruit will be really expensive and no one will be able to buy it. Or you can have robots to help pick fruit. And maybe that's the best of both worlds. We still have fruit growers here. We still have locally grown fruit at a reasonable price. But as a society, we've chosen to have robots do some of the labour. There are hard choices that we face.
Yeah. Are we in Australia ahead on of the game on this sort of thing? Are other countries looking to us and seeing what we're doing first, or are we following other people in this roboticization of our agriculture?
Australia is actually world-leading in a couple of areas of robotic application. So one would be in mining, one would be in logistics, so that's automating the movement of containers around ports, and also in agriculture. So these are areas where Australia's got, you know, significant economic interest. You know, we have big industries, big parts of our economy associated with those three things. And we've got some smart people doing robotics, and they focus on these particular areas because it makes sense. If you're doing robotics in the United States, maybe you'd be thinking more about manufacturing or car building. If you're doing it in Europe, you're probably also interested in robots for manufacturing. Same in Japan, or maybe you think about robots for nuclear reactor cleanup. In this country, we don't have a lot of those drivers, so we tend to concentrate on areas where Australia has economic clout, and we do really well.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to more of those small robots. Are they shrimp? They're called shrimp robots?
So shrimp is a robot that's been developed at the University of Sydney.
Yeah.
And shrimp does a number of different things. At our university in Brisbane, we have a robot we call Agbot, which goes out and sprays weeds, and we have another one called Harvey, which is currently busy picking capsicums.
Oh.
So you imagine a wheeled machine with a robot arm on top and some cameras, and it goes along, spots a capsicum, swoops in, grabs it, cuts it off, and puts it in a box.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to all of those anyway. It sounds very interesting. And even I suppose, in domestic gardens and things, you could have perhaps robot pickers of fruits and things, or I don't know. The weed guy sounds pretty good too. A lot of people would want that around their domestic garden, particularly if they've got a big garden to maintain.
Yeah,
we could be seeing them in the cities too, couldn't we, these little robots?
You could. They're already robot lawn mowers, a bit like the robot vacuum cleaners, but they cut grass. So, yeah, maybe the next one should be plucking weeds out of your lawn.
Yeah, it sounds like a really good idea.